Power in the blood and in the microphone. Praise the Lord. So my subject today is the blood of the cross. And I'm going to begin by looking at Colossians, the first chapter, the 19th and 20th verses. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Through the blood of the cross. Through the blood of the cross. In Leviticus, the 17th chapter, the 11th verse, we find this. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. You may all sit down. Now, I'm more used to preaching. And preaching is pretty easy because God gives you kind of a dealing of what you're going to go, and then he kind of gets in there and goes, and I just go with him. But teaching, that's where you get roots. Teaching is not the same thing as preaching, and we need sometimes to get the word and get rooted in it so that when things happen in our lives, God can quicken us according to the word that we've heard. Today, I'd like for us to look at some beautiful things that are in Jesus Christ that are also in us because of the blood of the cross. Glory to God. In Leviticus, we just read this, a principle which is important to every one of us. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for the soul. The blood, God said, was a precious thing. We could eat of clean animals in the Old Testament, but they had to pour out the blood. You couldn't eat the blood because the life of that thing was in the blood. Today we're going to be looking at the life of someone who is absolutely the center of our entire lives. His life imparted to us through his precious blood. In this study, we're going to look at four major points in our lives and in our relationship with God. The first has to do with our own natural self, our nature without God, and our helplessness. Next, we're going to be looking at Jesus' inner nature and the victory that he gave us over the power of sin by his life. Next, we're going to look at the power of that precious blood shed on the cross. And I want to underscore something. It was important that he shed it on the cross. And the last thing, what we receive through Jesus' love for us. First of all, I want us to realize that in us dwells, in our natural self dwells no good thing. The Bible lets us know that in the Psalm, the 14th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that didn't understand and seek God. And he concluded, they are all gone aside. They are all become altogether filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Further than this, in Jeremiah, God said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I've heard of a lot of people, sometimes Christians, saying, if I know my heart. Don't say that. God knows your heart. But what the important thing is, make sure you keep your heart covered by the blood. The life of Jesus is imparted through the blood. Last, Jesus himself said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. So, even after I was saved, I had a lot of zeal. I devoured the Bible. I had been really vile. And after I started in Matthew, read all the way through to Revelation, turned around and read Genesis all the way through. And by the way, if you haven't read the Bible through, I strongly recommend start in the New Testament. Don't start in the Old Testament, because it's pretty severe, because they didn't have the grace that we have. And we're living in this dispensation anyway. But back to what I was saying. I would read about how the Apostle Paul would talk about victory over everything, and Jesus saying that he had overcome the world, and telling me all the things I needed to do. And I wanted to do them, but I wore myself out. Dead serious. Because there's a way to do it, and it's not by my own power. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, glory to God, glory to God. On many occasions, Jesus taught on the cross. Many times, you'll read through the Gospels, he told his disciples, except you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. That's one way he put it. Another time he said, unless a man takes up his cross and follows me, he's not worthy of me. But what does that mean? Oftentimes, you'll find, sometimes within the same chapter, him turning around and telling them that he himself was destined to go to the cross. In fact, I'm going to read his words. This is found in Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said to them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Now, there's something that's beautiful here right away. He was telling us to take up our cross, and that's like, okay, how do we do that? But then he kept on telling them, I'm going to be doing it. Now, they didn't have the understanding they would have. But in connection with him, keep this in mind, in connection with him, there's a victory that we're coming to in this study that we get when we look to our precious Savior and that precious blood that ever flows to us, making us whiter than snow, forgiving our sin, keeping us in peace with God, but empowering us. Back to the study. He was impressing them of the connection between his cross and their cross. And Jesus carried his cross all his life. From the beginning of his public ministry, when he was baptized by John, the Spirit, the Bible says, led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, he had come in the likeness of flesh like us. Fasted 40 days because he was led to. Became hungry. After 40 days, your body is actually getting to a place where you're entering into starvation. The devil comes to him and tempts him, because he knows he is weak. He says, if you be the Son of Man, you make these stones become bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The devil then took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant, and said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. And he said, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And last, he took him up on the pinnacle of a temple. Now, in one gospel, this has a different order than another one, but these words, temptations. And the devil told him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, because it is written that he shall give his angels charge over thee to bear thee up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The enemy left. Now, the point in saying this, the enemy was working on him because he was in the likeness of flesh. And the devil knew most of us, all of us, can be tempted in the lust of the flesh. I'm hungry, man, if I can make these stones bread. Man, I know I'm supposed to be doing this, but this fast, I'd like to come off it right now. The enemy also knows in our nature we're vain. Now, we came by it because of Adam's sin, but pride is in there in the flesh. And there's a beautiful thing in this, by the way. I know that sometimes, especially when I was a young Christian, if I got blessed and shouted or something, after a while the enemy would come to me and say, you know, everybody's looking at you. What are you trying to show them? What are you trying to do? But you know something? With the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. When you do anything by the leading of God, you're glorifying Him. So you can tell the devil, I have liberty to glorify God. This is in the Holy Ghost. This blesses him. But going on, Jesus carried this cross all his life. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, I receive not honor from men, John 5:41. And I seek not my own glory, he said in John 8:49. He said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. He didn't do anything that he wasn't first humbling himself and being obedient. He didn't go anywhere. God didn't send him. He didn't say anything but what the Spirit told him to say. Even his miracles, he said, whatever the Father shows the Son, the same miracles the Son does. And after this, he shall show him greater things than these that you will marvel. He was constantly and always obedient. And he finally said these things. This is all in John, the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Now wait a second, let me back up. That in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In John, the 14th chapter, the 30th verse, he said, the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. In John, the 15th chapter, the 10th verse, he said, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus had to do something. He came in the flesh, like our flesh, but without sin. Every day of his natural life, by humbling himself and becoming obedient, he overcame sin, which we cannot do. We have no ability to do it. None at all. But he did, because he had to. He had to go to a cross, because a cross was the kind of death given to someone cursed of God. And Jesus was going to be taking upon himself every single soul that would ever live, taking their sins personally unto him. And how does God react to sin? God is holy. God never changes. God is loving, but he is holy. Before his Son came, he couldn't personally interact except with some. And many of them had a revelation of Jesus beforehand. Like King David, like some of the prophets, who could see Jesus beforehand, even though he hadn't come yet. But God could not dwell in them because he's holy. the blood offered by spotless sheep and goats could only push the sins ahead. He could not have perfect fellowship. And so when man sinned, you find all through the Old Testament God getting angry and bringing judgment. When Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, "Father, if it thou be willing, let this cup pass from me," it was not just the physical suffering that he was falling back from. There was something the Son of God had never experienced. He had never experienced you. He had never experienced me. He was about to, because the sins of all of us were about to be laid on him as the Holy Lamb of God. And he was going to suffer for us what we would receive. He was going to also experience the wrath of God. Now, this might surprise some, but you know, in the Psalms, Psalm 20, 22nd Psalm, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" On the cross, dying the death of a cursed one for us who were cursed, God treated him the way that we should be. And he suffered the full penalty for it. The full penalty. But let's think about what happened later. Glory to God, glory to God. "The prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me." Because he personally overcame sin, death could not hold him down. Glory to God. He said, "I've received a commandment of my Father to lay down my life and take it up again." But let's think about what's happening while he's doing this. Because it's an atonement. The Hebrew word atonement literally means, if you break it down, at one meant. At one meant. So when we by faith look and we see and see in our hearts Jesus on the cross interceding for us, we were at one with him. That was his choice. It was love that caused him to pray through, because there was no other way. No other way. But now, almost everyone here that's a seasoned Christian knows he was buried, put in a tomb, third day rose again, and we knew that our sins were forgiven. We knew that his blood cleanses us from all sin, and all guilt is washed away immediately. But there's something more here. There's something more in the power of the blood. Because he overcame sin, the Bible says in the book of Romans, sin shall not have dominion over you. We are not the same as we were. You know, when someone comes to Christ and repents, that's okay. I'll pick him up. Thank you, brother. When someone comes to Christ and repents, and they give their lives entirely to God, before they've received the Holy Ghost, before they've been baptized in Jesus' name, there's a change. How did that happen? The blood of Jesus is applied to their heart. And what is in the blood besides cleansing? The life. The overcoming, blessed inner nature of Jesus himself. The blood changes men's hearts, but it also changes their relationship with him, because it's an atonement, at one-ment. He doesn't... I got 5 more minutes? Okay, I'm going good though. My wife was worried about this. She saw me looking up all these scriptures, and she had reason to be. I have 10 minutes. Praise the Lord. I got 10 minutes. Hallelujah. 10 minutes. I'm getting off, but I'll just say this. I was supposed to give a Civil War lecture earlier this year. I was given an hour. Fortunately, I was the last speaker. I spoke for an hour and 46 minutes. So when she saw me looking up a lot of scriptures, and she was like, "Gonna be? Did you practice this? You're going to do this in 35 minutes? Anyway, I got 10 minutes. But back to the point, because this is important for us. Where do we get the power to live a life where we don't live to ourselves, but we live in submission to God as Jesus did? Now, I want for a moment for you to get the scripture in Philippians, the second chapter, the 8th and 9th verse. I think you got it there. So I want us to look at this. Wasn't on there, sorry. Okay, let me read it. Philippians 2, 8, and 9. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know, we are a church that calls ourselves the people of the name. Let us consider why. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Because he, coming in flesh, overcame it all, and by his own atonement, reconciled us. There's a song that they used to sing in this old little free Pentecostal church sometimes I used to attend. And the chorus goes, "When the Father looks at me, he doesn't see the things I've done. He only sees the blood of his crucified Son." But let's go further. When I, by faith, humble myself, because that's what I have to do, and give myself to God and plead his blood, his divine nature, to be applied to me through the blood of the cross, he can impart the life that's in him, that lives not speaking of himself, not living for his own glory, seeking the glory of his heavenly Father. And he also empowers us. You know, it's a blessed thing that we don't just preach repentance, but we preach the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. What's the next verse you got there?
Hebrews 5:8.
It's Hebrews? Yes, let's go to that. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, as our pastor has said over and over and over and over, we want to preach the truth. God is glorified when we preach the truth, when we teach the truth, when we live the truth. He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my words." Glory to God. It is any commandment in the Bible is an opportunity. And any commandment he gives us, he empowers us. Because the blood, he's a never-changing priesthood. He'll always apply his divine nature to us. Glory to God, glory to God. Now, listen to this. In Romans, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Atonement. In that he died on a cross, his flesh did, before he was raised up. In this atonement, we have been given power through his blood to live as he lived. And we can reckon ourselves crucified with him. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, we're baptized into his death, into his burial. Atonement. And thank God we all have that. You know something that I love in this church, bluntly? I've said it before when the other time that he got me up. This church feels like home. You know why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Because we listen to the Word, we love God, we want him to use us, and everybody has something to do. There are no bench warmers in the kingdom of God. One time, one of the saints here, I don't see her today, but I won't tell you her name. She felt impressed to lay her hand on me. She's not a preacher. The Holy Ghost began to flow through her into me. I don't know what I needed, but God knew I needed something. There have been other times when things like that have happened, where somebody simply obeyed or simply did what God gave you to do. But we have power in the blood to do it well. Glory to God. We have access through him through the blood. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And the Bible says, how much more will God give us all things that pertain to life and godliness? Do I have that scripture, Hebrews? I'm not used to these. You got Hebrews in there? You don't. Okay, let's find it. I'm not used to these. I am not newfangled. Okay, never mind, that's not it. The scripture had to do with how much more will he give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We don't have to wear ourselves out. We just need to go unto him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And while we're doing that, he's responding to us because his blood is there. We have power to live right. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much time I have? Am I done? 1 minute. Praise the Lord. Miracles. There's a fountain that's flowing over here, but that's not what this is about. Anyway, thank the Lord. My message today was that we are partakers also of his divine nature. If we don't see enough love in ourselves, that's okay. Go to Jesus. Say, Lord, through your blood, give me some, manifest your love. Lord, I need power to do this thing. Whatever it is, you know, all of us are human. All of us find ourselves in situations that show us just how much we're under the blood or not. And glory to God, but we're all living in grace. The relationship has changed for us. We are children. Glory to God, hoping that other people will come, put their hearts in that fountain of that blood, and be made like us in him. I think I did it. God bless you. Praise the Lord.